The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored their boat there. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they were heard that he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of our Lord.
Well, there's a sheet going around where they're asking people to write down stories from the past to get ready for the big 150th Sunday. I'm a sub. I'm not going to be here on that Sunday. But I have my own story, and I'm going to tell it. I've been around Nevada longer than most people. It seems it's such a transient state. And when I first started, I was at the church out in Yerington. It was I had 3 months where I only had that one church. It was an internship. And it's the only time in my life where I've only ever had one church until I was at Incline Village. And it was an interesting, I learned a lot. I was just out of seminary. I was pretty insecure. And one of the people in the congregation was someone that you may know here, some of you. He used to be the rector here before Sam. His name was Bob Pumphrey. And Bob and I developed over time, we developed a real fondness for each other. But it was a rocky start. And Bob would always have some kind of criticism about my sermon every Sunday. And some of them were really insightful. In 2 weeks, I'm going to be talking about one of his real insightful statements to me. But some of them were just off the wall. So Bob, one Sunday, was complaining when I went out. I could tell he'd been working on this complaint. He said, "Eric, why are you always preaching about love, love, love?" And I said, "Well, Bob, that's kind of what the gospel's about." And he said, "Well, yeah, there's a lot of other stuff in there, a lot of rules that you should be teaching." And I said, "Well, you know, Bob, the love is there. Like, take, for example, the story of the Good Samaritan, Jesus reaching out for the Good Samaritan, of the Good Samaritan reaching out for the Jew, the wounded Jew." And Bob said, yeah, "I've read that. And I know there's still a few Samaritans over there in Israel. And if I ever run into one, I'll treat him like a brother." Oh, Bob. But eventually, you know, like I said, we became friends. He even called one time to invite me to, after he moved to Reno because of his health, to invite me a couple days. He said, "I can't believe I forgot to invite you to my wedding that's coming up." And so I was really touched by that, that he would think of me. But anyway, we can get so narrow in our focus that we don't always, we can miss the big picture. The reason the Bible is still alive, so alive for us, is that so much of it is metaphorical. So that as we grow in our understanding of life, we also grow in our understanding of the Bible, in our understanding of the message that Jesus was proclaiming. In our reading, gospel reading today that Betty did for us, it talks about how people came from all over, all the villages around and other lands to just touch the robe of Jesus and be healed. Well, other villages back then meant something very different than ours. Each village had its own culture. Some of them were Greek spoke Greek and were Roman villages. Some of them were Jewish villages. But it didn't matter. People came from all the villages, Samaritan villages, and they were healed by touching Jesus' robe. And it's the Apostle Paul that takes that further, that really develops that in his work with the parishes that he traveled around to. And in the reading today from that was from Ephesians, I don't want you to miss it. It's a good one. In it, Paul talks about circumcision and uncircumcision. And that's sort of, I would say shorthand, but it's longer hand, for Jews and non-Jews. If you were to ask a Jewish friend, who is the father in Judaism, the first Jew, he wouldn't say Adam. He would say Abraham. And that's because in Abraham's era, generation, was when the ritual of circumcision started. And that was sort of setting apart a group of people. But the church in Ephesus was having trouble bringing together the Jews and those who are of Jewish background and the Gentiles. And this is what Paul was addressing. Remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth called the uncircumcision by those who were called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands. Remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. Paul could be really eloquent when he wanted to. Sometimes he could be angry and blunt, and sometimes he could wax eloquent, and that's what he was doing here, talking about how we are all citizens of the kingdom of God, which is still something that phrase is still used in the baptismal service, that we're welcoming the person baptized as a citizen of the kingdom of God. that the divisions among us aren't there, that we'll work to eliminate them. Now, if you want to be real literalist, then it's like, well, yeah, that's between the, back then, the Jews and the Gentiles. But it really is, what makes the Bible alive is that it's calling all of us to look at the other in a different way. Whenever we create an other, somehow they're a little bit less than human. They don't need to be treated the same way as we treat those who are like us. What do I mean by the other? Well, over time, back in the past, there were slaves were considered to be less than human. I mean, it's even in the Constitution that they were, or seven-eighths or whatever the percentage was of a human being. Well, that's a them. It's creating a them. And we can still run into racism, whether it's with African Americans or with Native Americans or with Hispanic people. There are language issues that somehow people who speak a different language as their native language are somehow less than human. There's issues around class, income, that education level, issues around sexualities. Somehow, and those didn't all emerge at once. As we grew, we were able to read the Bible deeper. We as a people are moving forward. Sometimes we take steps backwards. Sometimes we boldly stride forward. It's a mix. But it's in that we are living out what Paul calls us to be. He said that we come together to be one household. When we live it out in that household, bringing together different peoples, when we do that, we become not just a household, but a temple of God. What turns a house into a temple? The love. And that love happens when we're willing to see each other. Now, does that mean there won't be disagreements? Please. But that's the point. If we don't have those disagreements, how are you going to see the love? If we can't disagree and still love each other, what are we showing to the world? That's the task you and I have, to come together and look at where we are creating others, and then learn how to love them. Now, one of the things I've been saying to you as I've been here is pointing out from all my time with the Native Americans that they even have another task for us, since we keep discovering others. And they would encourage, if any one of them was up here talking to you right now, they'd be quick to add in, sometimes we need to look at animals in a different light, that they aren't something that's just to be used, but they're part of the family as well, that they are treated with a certain respect. For me, that was a little easier to hear because animals aren't something foreign to me. I grew up on a farm. And for example, when it comes to spending that extra money to buy cage-free eggs, I do. I grew up around chickens. I named them. and they all have their own personalities, let me tell you. And so do the cows. And to begin to see even more of creation in that way may be the next step we take as we move into others. But in the meantime, we still got to work on the others that we create now. I've really enjoyed being here and being your sub. I got two more weeks, unless there's a revolt and you call Jeff and get me out of here. And while I really enjoy this service, you've heard me complain that I really miss the old collects. We do them at 8 o'clock. And there's some real gems in the prayer book that often get overlooked. So I'd like to close this with one that's really one of my favorites. Has been for a long time. Oh God, you made us in your own image and redeemed us through Jesus, your Son. Look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred which infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love and work through our struggle and confusion to accomplish your purposes on earth. That in your good time all nations and races and all creatures may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.